right place. This is the Freedom Message with Stephen Vincent. Live free, think free, talk free, toll free. The number is 877-270-8714. Or call us directly at 530-413-4515. Canadian residents call toll-free at 888-228-4494. Let's talk freedom. Give us a call.
Hi, this is Stephen Vincent. Thank you for listening to the Freedom Message. We have some late breaking news right from the Ron Paul campaign. A fresh release I'd like to read for you. It's from Kent Snyder, Chairman Ron Paul 2008. October 2nd, 2007. Our goal is to win. We have 96 days, maybe less. We have one shot. Yesterday afternoon, the Ron Paul 2008 staff came together to hear that message. I shared it with them then. I share it with you now. Our goal is to win. Ron Paul wins the Republican nomination. Ron Paul becomes our next president. We have 96 days, maybe less. The first contest will be January 5th in Wyoming. But Iowa will change its date to be earlier than Wyoming, and New Hampshire will do the same. Michigan will hold its primary on January 15. South Carolina and Nevada are set for January 19, followed by Florida on January 29. We have one shot. The time is right for this Ron Paul revolution. There are many reasons why, but this opportunity we now hold in our hands will never come again. The future of our nation lies with us and with the people who will soon join this freedom movement. We have the answer, freedom. We have the man, Ron Paul. We have each other. We have what we need to win. So I think those sentiments, those words, echo very closely what I was speaking to yesterday. I know that it's difficult to hear words that urge immediate action without feeling some kind of anxiety. But I don't think that there's any other way to communicate it other than the way that Kent Snyder just communicated that to you, and the way I attempt in my own limited way to communicate to you the urgency of the situation, the uniqueness of the opportunity that we hold in our hands, my hands, your hands, your neighbor's hands, the hands of every American. It's in our hands. We can change this thing. We can change the course of this nation. We have the opportunity to elect somebody who will lead us in the right direction. All we need to do is commit to getting behind him 100%, 1,000%, and we will win. We have the momentum. We have the momentum. This just in, the Las Vegas odds. Now, this is interesting because when someone bets money, it changes the odds depending on the direction of their bet. And in the Vegas odds are continually, on Ron Paul winning the Republican nomination, are continually being lowered over and over and over again. Ron Paul's odds have now been slashed to 6-1. I believe that's down from 8-1. Now favored over Mitt Romney. Now, these are the odds based on people actually putting hardcore cash down, making a bet based on their evaluation of the way things will go. Now, money talks, all right? This isn't somebody trying to influence the direction of events by issuing a phony poll. This is money talking. Okay, I just got this from Gambling 911. I haven't even read it yet, but I'll read it for you. Just to give you an idea of the kind of momentum that we do actually have right now and the possibility that we have before us that we must absolutely capitalize on. Okay, let's see. This is from gambling911.com, which is universally recognized to be the premier website for handicapping odds. Forget those political polls. Throughout time, at least the last decade, odds makers have had an uncanny knack for predicting political races. It's not so much that they have a crystal ball, rather the lines adjust based on public action. When it comes to political betting, the public action is presumed to represent votes. The theory being that someone who is likely to vote on Mitt Romney probably won't bet on Ron Paul winning. The gambling public seems to believe that 2008 presidential candidate Ron Paul stands a very good chance of winning, this past week, odds on Dr. Paul have been slashed further from 8-1 down to 6-1, with a potential payout of $600 for every $100 bet. See the betting odds at sportsbook.com. This gives Ron Paul shorter odds than Mitt Romney. He's only slightly trailing behind John McCain, 5-1 odds, and Rudy Giuliani, 5-1 odds. Fred Thompson is the favorite among Republicans with odds of 4-1. We'll put an asterisk on this one, since so much of the betting action on Ron Paul has been prompted by gambling911.com readers. Still, it is a reflection of ardent support for their favorite candidate. These short odds represent the folks at sportsbook.com reacting to all the betting action generated as a result of articles that have appeared on the gambling911.com website over the past few months, points out Carrie Stroop, gambling911.com reporter, in this month's FHM magazine featured babe. Oh, well, that's nice to know. Thank you. The Gambling 911 site was one of the first to break the news about Ron Paul drafting legislation to make tips exempt, thus prompting an effort by his massive legion of supporters to target the service industry with Ron Paul sermons. If I were a bartender, I would vote for Ron Paul, admits Peyton O'Brien, senior editor of gambling911.com, who in recent months has been following the Paul campaign with interest. She is a Democrat. Gambling911.com reporter Jenny Wu, who has stripped once or twice in her past life, believes that strippers, bartenders, wait staff, casino dealers, and those who depend heavily on tips will lean towards a Ron Paul vote. We work hard for the money, and it's that drive that is characteristic, also found in the voter mentality, Wu says. Okay. Let's see if there's any more of this. Okay. This is my first time reading this, so I might have edited it a little bit if I had read it before. The Ron Paul supporters are yet to hit competing online gambling websites whose presidential betting odds have not been promoted by gambling911.com. Now is the time for Ron Paul supporters to start banging sites like World Sports Exchange, which still have Paul with 2400 plus 2400 odds for a payout potential of 2400 for every $100 bet he wins. O'Brien recommends World Sports Exchange betting odds on Dr. Paul can be found here, blah blah blah. Okay, that's about it for this. So in any case, in at least two major websites, Gambling911 and Sportsbook.com, the odds are now 6-1. So this is an indication of where we're going with things here. Very important information to know. Now, another important development is we won yet another straw poll. And this time it was in New Jersey. And this was over the weekend. Things were so crazy yesterday, and I had so much to tell you about New Hampshire and the victory in the fundraising efforts that we didn't get around to telling you that, in fact, we won another massive landslide victory in yet another straw poll, in this time in New Jersey. And those numbers are, I believe, 73%. Yes, 73% for Ron Paul, 12% for Fred Thompson, and less than 1% for Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, Mike Huckabee, Tom Tancredo, and Duncan Hunter. So, again, another massive landslide victory. And, in fact, we have on the line with us Louis DeVloot, who is a Ron Paul supporter in New Jersey and who was present at the New Jersey straw poll. So we're going to go ahead and take Louis's call now.
Can you hear me, Louis?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So thank you for calling into the show to tell us about the New Jersey straw poll. So I understand that you were present for at least part of that?
Yes. Unfortunately, I hadn't gotten there for a planned rally that they organized prior to, but I did get there in time to see all of the excitement and the announcement and everything and get my vote in, so happy about that.
Oh, good, good. What were the voting requirements for this straw poll?
Well, to be honest with you, this was an event that was sponsored by a group, Conservatives with Attitude, and this straw poll was not an official GOP straw poll.
Okay.
And because of that, you know, there weren't stringent requirements for the voting. It was just advertised. You know, people came out and they heard, you know, speakers for the individual candidates and basically voted according to their affiliation. But I want to just come on here and, you know, impart on everyone how exciting it was to see such a response for Ron Paul in New Jersey, because we all know that New Jersey is a mostly Democratic state, and you know, it's not very expected that someone with Ron Paul's, you know, his conservative stance would get such a strong showing. So it was a very exciting and uplifting experience.
Great, great. Well, I think that this is another example of how a motivated force can really capture an election. So,
yes.
I look at these as, you know, possible anticipations of primary victories, because
definitely,
most people don't vote in primaries.
Right.
Most people are very apathetic when it comes to the primaries. They wait for the candidate to be selected, and then they turn out. And as we know, you know, I think we've had elections recently where less than 50% of the voting public actually even turned up for the general election.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a situation where if you are a motivated force and you organize yourself, you can sweep in and, you know, sweep up.
Yes.
And I think that may be what we're looking at here in states like New Jersey, where if there is a lot of apathy among Republicans there, you know, you've got a shot at winning. Do you happen to know, Louis, the requirements for voting in the Republican primary? Do you need to be registered Republican, or is it an open primary?
You need to be registered Republican in order to vote in the primary. I do have some involvement in the organizing effort in New Jersey, helping the petition coordinator and, you know, just helping the group in general with whatever they need. And so right now that is one of our focuses, is to make sure that we get all of the, you know, the actual supporters, you know, get their party declaration in and their registration squared away. And then, of course, that involves also going out and encouraging just your average voter to register at Republican, so that we can get Ron Paul as many votes as possible. I also had an opportunity to just put together a list of points I wanted to make about the straw poll and the events surrounding it.
Go for it.
All right. I wanted to actually mention to make sure that I mention Dr. Murray Sabrin. That's S-A-B-R-I-N. He was gracious enough to speak on Ron Paul's behalf, and he did an excellent job. And we were honored to have him endorse Ron Paul's candidacy in New Jersey.
In fact, it was my plan to actually play the audio from his talk immediately following our conversation. So
I also wanted to mention to people that they can go onto YouTube if they want to see a video of it. They can search YouTube with the keywords NJ Straw Poll, and it should come right up. It's in two parts.
Great, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'll be playing the audio of that right after. Right after our conversation. Thank you for that. Yep. And what do you know about Dr. Murray Sabrin? What can you tell us about him, his background? And I know that he's been someone who's followed Ron Paul for quite a number of years.
Yes. To be honest with you, I have not, you know, known Dr. Sabrin. I was made known about him based on the straw poll and the fact that he spoke there. But, you know, since then, he's embraced the campaign, and he's even been kind enough to join our New Jersey meetup group, and we look forward to, you know, other opportunities in the future. I mean, I know for a fact that he's known Ron Paul for 25 years at least, so obviously, you know, that says so much about his character. So I just think that he's a great asset to have on board with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you could do me a favor, let him know that I'd love to have him as a guest on my show at some point.
Okay.
That would be really wonderful if you could put him in touch with me.
Okay.
So
there were some other little points. I mean, I don't know how much information you wanted, but
go ahead.
You know, basically, there were about 85 to 100 people there total, and I was trying to nail down the exact number of Ron Paul supporters, but you know, I wasn't able to do that. Although there were at least 36 from the actual New Jersey meetup group, and then you had RSVPs from the local groups. So we had a good turnout, and you know, for an unofficial straw poll that really didn't have much prominence prior to its occurrence, I think that, you know, we really mobilized quickly and effectively.
Absolutely. Well, I think that we're, you know, pretty universally getting really good at that in the Ron Paul movement, and we're motivated. We really you know, believe in our candidate, and we know what the message is. We're real clear about what the stakes are, and we're motivated to action. If you happen to catch the piece that I wrote, I read from Kent Snyder at the very top,
yes,
of the show. But I think that, you know, he's saying, you know, our goal is to win. We have one shot. We have about 96 days to do it in. So,
yes,
you know, I think that's something that really, really important for all of us to get real clear on. Is this isn't just a window that's of opportunity that's going to stay open forever, and, you know, we can kind of, you know, get around to it at some point, you know, supporting Ron Paul. You know, maybe I'll do it after the first of the year, after I do my Christmas shopping or something. You know, I mean, it's kind of a now or never kind of thing.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
I certainly appreciate the work that you're doing there in New Jersey, Lewis. And I know that you're also going to be participating in the October 13th All-America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message.
Yes, definitely. We hope to be able to get a walk going through the Princeton University campus, which, you know, should get us some kind of attention, hopefully even media coverage. I'm going to try and coordinate that with another organizer here in New Jersey, and I think that will be a definite plus for the campaign.
Certainly, I'm anticipating that coming on the heels of the announcement of our third quarter numbers, fundraising numbers, which I think pretty much we can feel pretty confident that they're going to be great, and the kind of publicity that's going to get. The Ron Paul Revolution, and coming on the heels of our raising $1.2 million in a mere 6 days. And I think that the All-America Walk is going to be coming at a very timely moment to really demonstrate to the world into the mainstream, or we should say establishment media and the establishment in general, that we are here and we are for real and we are very serious about supporting our candidate.
Definitely.
Yes, sir. Well, I really appreciate your calling in, Lewis.
And, most welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, call in any old time. You don't need an invitation. Just pick up the phone and give us a ring with any kinds of thoughts or insights or questions or anything you want to add to the show, okay?
Wonderful. I really appreciate it.
Me too, me too. Well, you have a great one and stay strong, okay?
You too, Stephen.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
Okay, so we're back on the microphone. Switching back to the microphone. By the way, folks, we've got a whole new piece of technology here that's going to hook our phones up to the rest of the audio production system, and didn't have time to install it before the show today, so that will, or well, let's cross our fingers, because this is the third piece of equipment we've tried. And let's hope that this one does the charm, and we'll have the phones integrated with the rest of the audio production system, and things will be a lot more smooth. So let's go ahead and listen to this audio from the gentleman that Lewis was mentioning. His name is Dr. Murray Sabrin, and he's been a supporter of Dr. Ron Paul for quite a while, and he sounds like a really fascinating guy. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot in the way of background information on him for you, but I think in this audio itself, he goes ahead and he mentions something. He gives a little background on himself, so here I'm going to just roll that for you. Should be coming up in just a second. No, the New Jersey straw poll was on the 29th of September. Each presidential candidate had a speaker talk on their behalf, and Dr. Murray Sabrin was speaking for Congressman Ron Paul. Here we go.
Thank you, Michael, for inviting me to be here today on a wonderful Saturday. I used to live in this area, and now we're up in Bergen County. That should be Ron Paul territory. Excuse me for a second. Sorry.
Nice.
You got the wrong number. So Rudy is somewhere. I don't know. You're going to help Ron reach the 1 million by the end of tomorrow. Okay, sorry. He's such a phone animal. Anyway, welcome to the Ron Paul Revolution. I've had the great pleasure and honor of knowing Congressman Paul for 25 years. I've contributed to his campaigns in Texas, even though we've been 1,500 miles apart for the last 20 years. I consider him a friend. I consider him one of the great statesmen in American history. He's not the greatest statesman in American history. And he deserves not only your support, but the support of every American who believes in the Constitution of the United States of America. Up very quickly right now what this campaign's all about. Let me give you a quote. Man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is neat and predictable as the law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts. That was Ronald Reagan. And he won the presidency in 1980 because he got it right in a wonderful little soundbite. Get government off our backs.
Yes.
And in 1976, Ron was one of the few people to endorse Reagan for president. And then in 1980, they said Ronald Reagan was too extreme to be president, and he won twice. Now, obviously, he wasn't a perfect president, but he certainly did some things well, namely not getting us involved in an unwinnable war overseas. In fact, when the Marines were 230 brave Marines were blown up in Beirut, Lebanon, Ronald Reagan said, it's time to come home because of the irrationality of Mideast politics. And Ron Paul believes in the same thing. Get out of the Middle East.
Yes.
Everybody knows where Ron Paul stands on all the issues, whether it's taxes, spending, debt, regulation, and international affairs. It's a humble foreign policy. It's a non-interventionist foreign policy. It's a limited government as our founders gave us 230 years ago. If Ron Paul were in Philadelphia in 1776, his name would have been on the Declaration of Independence. And we need another Declaration of Independence, and that is what the Ron Paul campaign is all about. So I ask you today to do what is necessary to get the message out with email, with phone calls, whatever means you have in order to elect one of the most honorable people to ever serve in the House of Representatives and the Congress of the United States. Like I said, I've known him for 25 years, and on every single issue, if it's not authorized by the Constitution, it cannot be voted by the Congress of the United States. Therefore, he voted against the Patriot Act. He's voted against more spending, more taxes, more debt, more regulation. And so when it comes to every single issue that the American people deeply believe in, their businesses, their work, their families, he isn't on the side of the people and not on the side of the special interest. Every single vote he's done in the House of Representatives has always been, is it consistent with limited government? Is it consistent with the Bill of Rights? He will never equivocate on the First Amendment. He will never equivocate on the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
On the Fourth Amendment. On the Fifth Amendment. On the Ninth Amendment. Ron Paul believes in the sovereignty of the American people and the American nation. And that's why he does not support all these supranational agencies like WTO, NAFTA, and of course, the United Nations. And as the husband of Carol for 50 years, the father of five sons, who he refused to allow to take government-guaranteed student loans when I went to college, as the grandfather of, I think, 17 children and one grandchild, he is running for them and for your children as well. There are youngsters in the audience. Our bipartisan welfare warfare state has given us today a $60 trillion unfunded liability. That means that a youngster being born today will pay in their lifetime to make all these bills possible virtually 80% of their income over the years. That is unconscionable, it's immoral, and it's unconstitutional. Ron Paul wants to tackle the entitlement programs that have good intentions, nobody say they don't, but they do not meet the test of financial sustainability. And that's why he will go in there and do something about allowing young people to save for themselves, to save for their retirement, to save for their health care benefits, and have the type of society that the founders gave us as a legacy that we've squandered now for the past 100 years. And you can applaud on that. Right? There is something else happening that is very dangerous, something that Ron has been foremost in the Congress talking about, writing about, speaking about, and that is the debasement of our currency. If you look at the long-term chart of the dollar, it looks like Enron stock. It is going close to zero. It is in a free fall against all the major currencies of the world and some of the weak currencies of the world. You cannot run an empire and have financial stability. You cannot have a welfare warfare state and have sound job creation in America. You cannot have a welfare warfare state and have the future secure for our young people. You cannot have a welfare warfare state and have this debt load of $9 trillion and increasing by $200 to $300 billion a year. In fact, if we had honest accounting that corporate executives are going to jail for, the president, the vice president, all the members of Congress except Ron Paul would be in jail because of
okay. So there you have Dr. Murray Sabrin speaking at the New Jersey Straw Poll. Now, there's another part to that. This is part two. So if you go ahead, like Lewis said, and do a Google for Dr. Murray Sabrin, New Jersey Straw Poll, NJ Straw Poll, that will turn up And you can play it there. Now, I have an announcement. Very important. I have discovered Ron Paul's running mate, his vice presidential running mate. I would like to take this opportunity to nominate to you the supporters of the Ron Paul Revolution, Judge Andrew Napolitano, as Ron Paul's vice presidential running mate. Now, this is something I just came to about 15 minutes before the show, okay? Because I heard this interview that I'm going to play for you now with Judge Andrew Napolitano, and I have to tell you, I am surprised. I had no idea. This guy sounds great. Okay, I don't watch television. Apparently, he's a Fox News commentator on judicial matters. Someone can correct me on that. That's my understanding. He is on Fox News as a commentator on judicial matters. Well, knock my socks off. I mean, let's have a listen to this. Maybe you'll end up feeling the same. I think this guy was a superior court judge in New Jersey. While we're listening, I'm going to like plumb around a little bit, see what else I can find out. Now, like I told you, I don't watch television. I don't even own a television. So you have to forgive me for being a little bit uninformed. I know that this is probably somebody I should know all the ins and outs about, and what he says and where he's from and what he does and whatnot. But anyway, let's have a listen to this. Very, very, very interesting listening.
You've seen him on Fox News. He is the youngest life-tenured Superior Court judge in the history of the state of New Jersey. And he is the author of some great books, Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws, and the New York Times bestseller, The Constitution in Exile, How the Federal Government Has Seized Power by Rewriting the Supreme Law of the Land, and his newest book, A Nation of Sheep. I'm talking about, of course, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Welcome to the program, sir.
Happy to be here, David. How are you, my friend?
I am great. I was listening to a little bit of your show this morning on Brian and the Judge, which is 9 a.m. to noon in New York. I was listening to it online, and it sounded like you and Brian were going back and forth about having infiltration of mosques by FBI agents.
You know, there's a congressman who happens to be Brian's neighbor, and happens to have gone to Notre Dame at the same time I did, Peter King, who's the ranking Republican on the House Homeland Security Committee, who made the outrageous statement this morning that there are too many mosques in the United States and the government needs to do something about it. Could you imagine if he said there are too many Catholic churches in the United States and the government needs to do something about it, or too many Jewish temples and the government needs to do something about it? The statement was totally unremarkable, because nobody really picked it up except one of the wire services, and I thought that this was such a potentially crude violation of the First Amendment, such an irreverence for people's right to worship as they see fit, such a stereotype that because there's a mosque here, there must be some federal crime being plotted in the bowels of it, that it was so unbefitting a public office holder that I had to raise it. Brian's of the view that as long as we're safe, we're happy.
Yeah. Now, that gets into a big question, I think, with candidate Ron Paul. People are questioning his sort of non-interventionist position. Oh, that's how they perceive it. And that gets into what you've talked about. Can we follow the Constitution, or let me put it another way, will following the Constitution jeopardize our safety?
I don't think that following the Constitution will jeopardize our safety, but I'll go so far as to say, even if it does, I'm willing to take that chance, because the whole purpose of the Constitution is to keep us free, not to keep us safe. We know we can't be happy while we're slaves. And if the government keeps taking away our right to do what we want with our private property, our right to privacy, our right not to have the door broken down in the middle of the night by a federal agent who's written himself his own search warrant, things that the British government did to us that caused us to fight a revolution against them. If these rights are continually taken away from us, some directly, notoriously, and publicly, some stealthily and in ways we couldn't even imagine, but all of which are summarized and described in detail in my new book, A Nation of Sheep, then we will have elected a government that took our freedom away, and we can't be happy when we're slaves. We can't be happy when we're unfree. We will no longer have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as we know it.
That title, when I saw that title, I thought, that's a great title, A Nation of Sheep. It's very provocative, and I think in many ways it speaks to a lot of things that our founding fathers, you know, fought against and what America is all about, and that we're supposed to be individually vigilant to against our greatest enemy. That's the government taking away our freedoms because, well, government just tends to do that. Tell us a little bit about what people will find in Nation of Sheep.
Well, they'll find the Patriot Act, for example, is the most inappropriately, not only the most inappropriately titled piece of legislation, but it also allows the government to do things that we were all raised thinking could never happen here. If you learned when you were in third grade that the police can't bang your door down in the middle of the night, that you can't go to jail until you've been tried before a judge and a jury, that you're entitled to a lawyer, that you can always say what you think and say what you want to say about the government. You learned the way the government was when you were in third grade. Third graders today can't learn that because the Patriot Act has given federal agents the right to write their own search warrants, even though the Constitution says only judges can issue search warrants. It's allowed them to break into your house without you knowing about it, to plant a listening device in your bathroom or your bedroom or your kitchen and leave and make it look like it was a third-rate burglary. It allows them to go to your bank, your computer server, your telephone company, your doctor, your lawyer, your post office, and seize all of your records. And then it tells the banker, the lawyer, the doctor, the postman, the computer company, that if they tell you or anybody that they've been there, that they've committed a federal crime. So even though the Constitution says Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech, if you tell anyone you've received a self-written search warrant, you can be prosecuted and the punishment is 5 years in jail. And if you receive a self-written search warrant, you can't even tell a federal judge in a federal courtroom that you've been the target of this activity.
Really?
This is the kind of laws that the East Germans wrote to authorize their agents to strip East Germans of all sense of dignity, pride, and individuality, to crush each one of them as if they were grapes, to form the wine of the state. And that's basically what this does. It brings us back to a period in our history of before we were a country, when the British Parliament and the British monarch, George III, authorized British soldiers to write their own search warrants and break down doors in the middle of the night. I mean, what FBI agent is going to go to a judge and present the judge probable cause of a crime, which is what the Fourth Amendment requires, and ask the judge for a search warrant if the agent now has the power to write his own search warrant? That's the reason that since the Patriot Act was enacted, the FBI has issued over 138,000 of these self-written search warrants, nearly 50% of which had nothing to do with the war on terror, and over 25% of which weren't even issued in accordance with the FBI's own internal guidelines. In other words, FBI agents just wrote out search warrants for whatever they wanted. I mean, we have really lost even the basic rudiments of privacy, which we had as recently as September 10th, 2001.
Now, one of the things... So, I'm listening to this, and I'm hearing stuff that very well could have come out of Dr. Ron Paul's mouth. Very, very reminiscent of Dr. Paul's reasoning, his train of thought, his presentation to a certain extent. And I'm asking myself, as I listen to this, You know, I'm not familiar with this individual, but is it possible that Ron Paul and the Ron Paul Revolution have had an impact on Judge Andrew Napolitano? I'm willing to bet that I'm sure he's been an advocate of freedom to some extent prior to Ron Paul's candidacy, but I'm willing to bet that we have helped shape his current state of mind and the way that he frames these issues. I'm willing to bet that we have had that kind of an effect, that Dr. Paul has had that kind of an effect. Well, let's listen some more, and I think you might come to the same conclusion. If you listen to what he says and how he says it, bears too much resemblance to Dr. Paul's presentation, Dr. Paul's analysis, makes you wonder, Okay, here's some more.
Things that I have observed about Ron Paul's campaign is that when I looked at his videos, and I really didn't know that much about him, so I went online and watched his videos and read about him because I've talked to several of the candidates, is just how far-fetched and how almost crazy his ideas sound to people on first blush. And even some of the Republican candidates, I think, laughed at some of the statements he made in the last debate. And yet, when I went to look, the things he was saying was actually constitutional. Are we that far off in our thinking in this country that we don't even recognize constitutional thinking when we see it?
Ron Paul is the only one of the 16 major candidates running for the nomination of their party who carries around a copy of the Constitution, who reads it, who knows what it says, and who takes seriously his oath to uphold it. To some extent, Dennis Kucinich does this as well, but he does it from a left-wing and socialist point of view. And Kucinich joins the other candidates in being a candidate of big government. A candidate who believes that the federal government can solve our problems and keep us safe, even if it means it has to curtail our liberties. Ron Paul, more than any of the other candidates, understands that the federal government is way too big, taxes too much, regulates too much, is so heavy and lethargic and so laden with layer upon layer of bureaucracy that it's almost impossible to get anything through it except laws that take away our property from us. I mean, Ron Paul, when he says he wants to abolish the IRS, I mean, that should be an extremely enticing statement. Let me ask your listeners this. Do you know of anybody in the country who comes home on a Friday evening, kicks up their feet, opens up their paycheck, looks at the paycheck and looks at the pay stub and says, you know what? I don't think I gave the government enough money this week. I don't know anybody that does that. No. So we should all rejoice if the IRS were to go away and some other fairer system of taxing us were to come in play. It doesn't matter to me if it's the fair tax or if it's the flat tax, but a tax system that's 40,000 pages in length, that no single human being has ever read, that nobody can fully understand, that costs as much to administer as it does as it collects, is obviously not a system that's serving us well. So Rudy Giuliani and the big government guys can laugh all they want. They really need to think about what Ron Paul has said. They want the IRS around because they want to tax us more so they have more money of ours to redistribute and more money of ours to assault our liberty with. And while we're talking about Giuliani, I mean, when Ron Paul challenged Giuliani as to, I should say, when Giuliani challenged Ron Paul as to the reason for which we are even in the Middle East and the reason the Islamo-fascists hate us,
yeah.
And Giuliani said, I've never heard anything like your argument before. He obviously hadn't read the 9/11 report. He obviously didn't even read the report of the Iraq Study Group, of which he was a member until they kicked him off, because both of those independent bipartisan groups concluded that the reason we were attacked on 9/11 is because of our foreign policy in the Middle East.
Well, Judge, you know, I heard the president.
So, I mean, I'm listening to this again, and I'm hearing a virtual endorsement of Ron Paul by of all people, a Fox News commentator. Now, I have to say, I'm surprised. And I like the way this guy talks. I'd like to hear more. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to ask him to be a guest on this show to expound further on his views on Dr. Paul and maybe see if I can wiggle an endorsement out of him. Although, I guess, actually, he shouldn't be able to do that if I understand the politics of broadcasting correctly. Given his position as a Fox News commentator, he wouldn't be able to actually declare himself a supporter of Dr. Paul. But he's gone pretty far so far in this interview. There is more. However, I did want to take a call. We do have a call right now from Mark Augustine from the Ron Paul Rockfest, which is going to be held in Atlanta on October 20th. So I'm going to switch to the phone, and we will take the call from Mark Augustine.
Hi, are you there, Mark? We have Mark on the line. Hello? Hello? Okay, seems like we're having trouble. Do we have Mark on the line still? Hello? We still have Mark on the line? Okay, I'm going to put the phone back on hold, and you let me know if you've got Mark on the line.
Hello? Yeah, you know what? I can't take your call right now at the moment. Can you call back in about an hour? Thank you. Hello? Do we have Mark on the line? Okay. So I guess that's something that, okay, I guess we lost Mark. So Mark, if you're listening, go ahead and call back in and we'll talk to you about the Ron Paul Rockfest in Atlanta on the 20th. Okay, let's go back to to Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Today say that we can't leave Iraq because if we leave Iraq, it will become a haven for terrorists, and that we have to force democracy on those people for our own safety, our own national security interest. How can we not go into Iraq and to other places that have terrorists and be safe as Americans?
His own Secretary of Defense was a really sensible guy. I wish he had been Secretary of Defense from the beginning of the Bush presidency. Has acknowledged, along with the leader of the Republicans in the House of Representatives, John Boehner, that we cannot thrust democracy upon these people. That the best that we can hope for is some kind of a stable government. And Bob Gates, the Secretary of Defense, has been candid enough to acknowledge that the situation is so bad in Iraq. So many people have died. So many people have fled the country. So much of the infrastructure has been destroyed. The government is so unstable. We've unleashed such horrific forces in the streets. We've drawn the terrorists from other countries to come there. That the situation is far worse than it was when Saddam Hussein was running it. And Bob Gates himself, as recently as yesterday, when asked if he knew then what he knows now, would he advise the president even to go into Iraq, and he simply answered by saying, "I don't know." Now, that's the same answer that General Petraeus gave last week when he was asked if fighting in Iraq has made America safer. He answered by saying, "I don't know." So you have the president's principal civilian advisor on matters of defense, the Secretary of Defense, and the general that he plucked from a cadre of generals and has promoted as this brilliant guy with a PhD who's a soldier scholar, both saying the same thing, both expressing serious doubts about whether or not the war in Iraq will make us safer. Ron Paul and, interestingly enough, again, Dennis Kucinich are the only ones running for president who are saying this. And again, I'm not carrying water for Kucinich. He's a socialist, but he does have the courage of his convictions, and he is, like Ron Paul, right, correct, on the war. What Ron has done,
Judge,
is made it comfortable for Republicans to oppose the war, and it was uncomfortable to do that before Ron started his campaign.
All right. Well, I know you recognize that music. That's bumper music. We've got to take a short break. We're talking.
So, he's even referring to Dr. Paul as Ron. They're on a first name basis, apparently. That's great. And we're going to listen to about 7 more minutes of this interview with Judge Andrew Napolitano. If you'd like to call in, you can give us a call to talk about anything that you'd like to talk about. 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. Tell me what you think about Judge Andrew Napolitano as Ron Paul's vice presidential running mate. I'm nominating him based on listening to one 20-minute interview with David Allen. I am nominating Judge Andrew Napolitano. Do I have a second to the nomination? Well, maybe we should listen to the whole thing first. So here's some more.
With Judge Andrew Napolitano, author of the soon-to-be-released Nation of Sheep and co-host with Brian Kilmeade on Brian and the Judge. We'll be right back. You're listening to The David Allen Show. On Fox News. He is the author of the soon-to-be-released A Nation of Sheep. He is an expert in constitutional law. None other than Judge Andrew Napolitano joins us. Judge, welcome back.
Good to be back with you, David, my friend.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and pause that for the time being. We have Mark back on the line to discuss the Ron Paul Rockfest. So we're going to switch to the phone and...
Hello, Mark. Are you there?
Mark is here.
Great. Thanks for calling in. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good. So why don't you tell us about the Ron Paul Rockfest? I want to know more. It sounds like a whole lot of fun.
We're looking forward to it. Yeah, it's going to be October the 25th. And by the way, I'm getting a bit of an echo. I don't know if you guys are hearing that.
Okay. I don't hear it on my end, but apologize for that. We'll see if Seth can do something about pulling that out of there for you. Do the best you can and tell us about the Rockfest.
All right. We've got October the 25th here in Atlanta. We've got 20 bands going off, and what we're going to do is basically do a fundraising concert to generate funds for the Ron Paul campaign, a lot of the Ron Paul meetup groups here in Atlanta. And see what we can do about getting a whole bunch of people through the door and, like I said, raising some money and a lot more awareness for what's going on with the Ron Paul Revolution.
Awesome. And where can people find more information?
Well, if you get online, you can go to my website, which is thinklibertarian.com. There is a press release up there with a bunch of the information about the event. And obviously, as we get closer to the day, we'll be issuing a couple more press releases talking about what's going on. I've had a lot of excitement for the event down here in Atlanta for sure. I've had a lot of good conversations with a gentleman in Dallas. They're looking to do something. A guy in Orlando called me the other day. We had a good conversation. I even had a really neat email from an individual who wants to fly over from London to check the event. So it's really neat. I mean, I think, as you guys know, this Ron Paul Revolution thing has taken off in a way that I don't think a lot of us thought anything like this could ever take off, and it has. And it's really fun to be a part of it and try to do something to raise awareness and raise money for the cause.
Absolutely. Awareness, money, absolutely. You're doing a great job by putting this on. I'm sure it's going to bring in some new people and spread the word. And now, are you in a band yourself?
I used to be a musician, sort of retired from actually performing at the moment. Pretty tied in, though, with a lot of the local musicians here in the Atlanta area. I did a stint at Geffen Records in Los Angeles back in the mid-90s, so I definitely come from sort of a music entertainment marketing kind of background, and this just seemed like a really natural fit to try to pull this off. I've done two events like this previously, one back in October of 2006 and one in May of this year, and we raised a bunch of money for the Libertarian Party here in Georgia. So obviously after the second one that we did, it just seemed like a very natural thing to go and do the next one for Dr. Ron Paul. I had the pleasure of meeting him in 2004 at the Libertarian National Convention here in Atlanta. Certainly been aware of him for quite some time. I think anybody who's been around the libertarian world has been very familiar with Ron Paul, and he was certainly on that short list of people that we've always hoped, wow, how cool would it be if he ran for president? And lo and behold, he made the decision earlier this year, and it's just been an absolutely amazing thing to watch. And before I forget, I want to thank you guys, too, for all the work that you guys are doing with Ron Paul Radio and, again, helping to spread the message. I mean, the more outlets there are for this message to get out to people, the more people can hear the message and act on it. You know, it's certainly a viral thing, and I think we all know when somebody's introduced to Ron Paul and they buy into it, the next day, their hardcore Ron Paulers going out there spreading the message as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it is pretty incredible how easy it is to sell the doctor to people, and how quickly people you know, get hooked on them. You know, it's like basically trying to sell water to a man in lost in the desert. You know, and as a nation,
right,
we certainly are lost in a desert. And Ron Paul is that bottle of cool, clear water that we've been dreaming about, and certainly people are drinking it up. No question about that. Yeah. So. Have you looked into having the show webcast yet?
I tell you what, maybe that's something we can continue a conversation with offline or via some email. We would love to try to get resources in place to be able to webcast the entire event. The doors will open up at 7. Music will kick off with the Star Spangled Banner at 7:20, and we expect music to be going all the way until about 1:30. What we've done with this particular event, which I think makes a lot of sense, is for the previous fundraisers that we did, we usually invited anywhere from 4 to 6 bands, and they all did their, you know, 30-40 minute set, and sort of rolled like that. But because of so much interest for the Ron Paul Rock Fest, we're doing it a little bit differently. We're going to have the entire event backlined, which means we're going to have a drum kit already on stage. There'll be a bass rig, a couple of guitar amps, so when the bands show up, they just really have to bring their guitars, keyboards, some of that the secondary stuff that they actually have to use. We're probably going to let each band play 2 or 3 songs. So when one band is on stage, another band will be backstage, and we're just going to cycle it through like that. We went ahead and gave every one of the bands that has committed to play, each got 10 tickets to pre-sell. So right before the doors even open, we expect to have $2,000 already in the kitty. And when you have an event like that, when you have a band playing 2 or 3 songs, what you can get is a lot of people cycling through the room. So people will show up early to see their friends. They'll leave. There'll be more people coming in later. I'm certainly hoping that we run a whole bunch of people through the door. And the nice thing about going with the formula that we've gone with is it makes the event very inclusive, as opposed to just relying 4, 5, 6 bands. We've got 20 bands out there that are running around promoting the fact that they're playing at the Ron Paul Rock Fest.
Exactly.
And hopefully that leads to more people coming through the door.
Exactly. 20, and, you know, that many more people just, you know, sort of rippling out the word on the Freedom Message and on Ron Paul. Absolutely very, very, very good thinking on your part in that. And I'm going to be curious to see if the event doesn't produce a couple of more Ron Paul songs, because they seem to crop up everywhere. I've got a library of at least 30 Ron Paul songs that have been written already about the Ron Paul Revolution and our men.
Right.
So,
look, it's an amazing thing. I mean, certainly if you look back at the social change that happened back in the 60s, it was incredibly tied in with music, because it was incredibly connected to young people. And what you're seeing with this Ron Paul Revolution are some very similar events happening. Certainly the demographic of a Ron Paul supporter runs the gamut. We all know that they're very young Ron Paul supporters, and they're very old Ron Paul supporters. But with regards to really moving this thing in a positive direction, in a direction that causes the kind of change that we're all looking to have happen, you have to have young people involved. And so many of the politicians out there today have done quite the opposite. They've disenfranchised younger voters. You know, so many of the kids going, you know, in high school and going into college, they could care less about politics.
I saw
a great sign that I think speaks a lot to that is Ron Paul cured my apathy.
Yep.
And Ron Paul... when people respond, when people get that message, especially the young folks, they respond to it. I mean, we're all hearing the stories about the kids who are finding about Ron Paul online and then going, hey, Mom and Dad, I want you to check something out.
I have a story like that for you. We were doing a sign waving in front of the Galleria in Sherman Oaks. It's, you know, it's a shopping mall here in the San Fernando Valley, the famous Valley, you know, the home of the Valley Girl, you know. And we're out there in with our Ron Paul signs, and about a dozen teenagers come up out of nowhere, and they say, "We love Ron Paul. Can we have signs?" And they just grab signs, and they hit the street corners, and they're dancing, and they're shouting, "Ron Paul, Ron Paul." I'd say about half of them really didn't know who he was and had some idea about what he was about, and the other half were just joining in. But that was really quite enlightening to see that happen. And we told them, "Well, we're going to be here every Friday. Come on down." I said, "Well, we'll be back. We'll come back next Friday. We'll bring all of our friends." You know, so there really is something happening, as Ron Paul said in his speech in New Hampshire on Saturday. Something is happening. No question about it. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Incredibly unique thing to be a part of. I've been politically astute for the last 7 or 8 years, I suppose. You know, certainly I think a lot of us can go back and remember a little bit about the Ross Perot thing. That does not even hold a candle to what's going on right now. I mean, this is viral. This is at the street level. This is ultimately, you know, if we look at Ron Paul and the message as a product, you can't beat this kind of advertising. You can't pay for it. You can't think about it. And I think it speaks a lot to the fact that what you're dealing with is simply the truth. And
absolutely.
Ron Paul gets up on stage, and he tells people the truth. And certainly there are those out there who don't want to hear the message. However, I think the surge, the movement, the growth of this thing certainly indicates that, look, every day, every single day that goes by, it's exponential with regards to the growth of this thing.
Yes.
Because everybody's
Dr.
out there talking. They're doing what you guys are doing. They're doing what I'm doing. Everybody's doing something in a little way. And when you have something like that going, where it can lead to, there's no doubt in my mind that this is going to be huge, you know, over the course of the next, obviously, we're, you know, the main focus right now is getting into the primary season, but it's going to be fun to be on board this revolution all the way until the elections in 2008, and I've already signed up for the Ron Paul inauguration meetup group for Washington, D.C., so I plan on being in D.C. to watch the band get inaugurated.
Yeah, well, you know, we really are in a position to win this thing, and we have to really grasp that. On the other hand, we have to understand the limited window of opportunity that we have before us. It's a small in time, it's small in space, and we have to capture this opportunity and make the most out of it while we still can. And thanks to people like you doing the work that you're doing, I think that we really do have that opportunity to win. So let's stay focused on the goal and make it happen. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at the inauguration. One more thing, I want to put in your ear. On October 13th, there's going to be an event. I guess that will be exactly 1 week before your concert. It might be a good lead-in to what you're doing there. We're having the All America Walk in support of Ron Paul's freedom message. And we're targeting a walk in support of Ron Paul in every single state. And thus far, I don't think we have anything going on in Georgia. So maybe we can stir something up and get something going on for the 13th of October in Georgia.
We might be able to do something. I know that there is a sort of a mini Ron Paul Rock Fest. I forgot exactly what the name is, but a little bit of Ron Paul Festival in an area called Little Five Points on October the 13th. And I've asked to speak a little bit. So yeah, I tell you what, you know, certainly communicate with me via email.
Yeah.
Let me know, and before I even get out of here, certainly to all of the listeners out there, if there is anything that I can do to impart any wisdom or suggestions for anybody else out there that wants to do a Ron Paul Rock Fest, I certainly think we've got a formula that makes a lot of sense. It's certainly worked in the past for the Libertarian Party of Georgia, and I have no doubt that it's going to work as well, if not significantly, in a much larger way. So if anybody wants to get in touch with me, just go to my website, thinklibertarian.com, and shoot me an email, and I'll answer whatever questions I can and be as helpful as possible.
Great, Mark. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And call in anytime. You don't need to be invited. Just pick up the phone anytime you want to call in and comment or update us with information or ask a question, whatever it may be, for any reason. All right?
I'll definitely do that. And, again, thanks for all the work that you guys are doing over there.
No problem. Thank you, brother. Bye-bye.
All right, Steve. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, so we're back. Back on the microphone. Thanks to Mark for calling in with the Ron Paul Rockfest in Atlanta, Georgia on October 20th. And let's go ahead and continue and listen to the rest of our interview with Judge Andrew Napolitano. And this is very interesting stuff.
Now, I have got in the studio with me here in Jacksonville a good friend of mine, Mr. Bill Haft. He has got his own show here on this station at 8 to 11 p.m. weekdays. And he would just, he'd love to ask you a question. So Bill, take it away.
How are you, Bill?
I'm well, Judge. How are you doing, sir?
Good to be with you guys.
Nice to have you. Yesterday, President Bush urged Congress to expand the government's domestic spying powers permanently or risk leaving the country vulnerable to another terrorist attack. Is Congress going to do it?
I don't know if Congress is going to do it, and I certainly hope not. But don't count on the Democrats for having courage, except the courage to steal our property and distribute it to others.
Well, in August, the Democrat-led Congress temporarily expanded his authority to monitor phone calls, emails.
And that temporary expansion, for the first time in American history, made it lawful, not moral, and not constitutional, because the Congress, thank God, can't change the Constitution, and it certainly can't change the laws of nature, but it made it lawful for the government, the American government, to spy on Americans without any warrant whatsoever, so long as the human being with whom the Americans are speaking is a foreign person in a foreign country. So if you're an American student talking to your roommate in London, and they want to listen to the room, they really want to listen to you, all they have to do is target the London person and tap that person's phone. This has resulted, of course, in many Americans having their phone calls listened to under the guise that it's really the other person, the foreigner to whom they're speaking, that the government is really interested in. And this totally, totally blows away the protections of the Fourth Amendment. It even blows away the very minimalist protections that the FISA statute has given us. The Democrats gave the president this power for 6 months yesterday. He asked that he could have it forever.
Well, if the people aren't doing anything that's illegal, why should they care? That's what I'm hearing.
Well, you know, that is the argument of those who really would bring us back to a society like we had in East Germany, where it was a crime not to report a crime, and everybody was reporting everybody else for everything under the sun for fear that they'd be prosecuted for not recording. The government had all kinds of power to surveil everybody and knew everything about everyone else, and there was no individuality. There was no privacy, there was no dignity, and there was no happiness. Because of people that have no sense of self-worth, that have no dignity, that do not have the right to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, who are close to slaves of the government, can never, ever be happy. If there are people out there in the world who'd rather be slaves but safe, let them go ahead and do it. There's a place where they can live, it's called Russia. If they'd rather be free but endure some risk, then we need to go back to the way things were here before George W. Bush became president and the Republicans took our freedoms away from us. That's what my book is about. It lambasts Americans for looking the other way because our freedoms were taken away by country club Republicans, not by radicals in the streets from the 60s. But by those radicals who grew up and switched to the Republican Party.
But it was done to make us safer. I mean, aren't we safer today because of the Patriot Act?
Absolutely not, because what we've done is given ourselves a government so powerful that it has become the menace. My friends that are happy to give this power to George W. Bush might not have been happy to give it to his predecessor or to his successor, especially if she has the same last name as the predecessor. You can't give this kind of power to the government because you never know what the government will do with it or who in the government may have it.
Why won't the American people just accept the reality that the President and Congress are not capable of preventing terrorist attacks from occurring?
Because the President and the Congress have succeeded in scaring the daylights out of the American government. The means is fear. The goal is power. The victim is liberty. People in the government are not interested in protecting our freedoms. They're only interested in enhancing their own power. Ron Paul is the only person in my memory, besides Barry Goldwater, who who's running for president with the idea of shrinking the government. Everybody else wants to expand it because they think it's a good thing that can accomplish good. It's a necessary evil, and it should be as small as possible.
Now, we've talked about A Nation of Sheep. When is that supposed to be released?
A Nation of Sheep will actually be released on October 30th, but you can get it in bookstores probably by around October 21st. Or October 22nd. You'll see me all over the airways trying to sell copies of
it. Well, we need to get a hold of your publicist because I want a copy right now so we can get you back on again with us to talk about the book when we've read it.
We'll get two copies. My producer knows how to find David, and she'll call and get addresses. We'll get some copies right down to you.
That'll be great. That'll be great, Judge. Well, I tell you, you made me think about one more thing about Ron Paul. We see the poll numbers on internet polls and on text messaging polls. He's being totally discounted by, well, even some people on Fox News. Do you think it's going to translate, his internet support is going to translate to actual votes?
I do. I think he's going to surprise everybody by making it comfortable for people to start preaching that the government's too big, too fat, takes too much of our freedom, and takes too much of our wealth. And the more people that hear him, the more people love what he says. 50% of all contributions from ex-military go to Ron Paul. That should tell 50%. You.
50%?
50% of all contributions from ex-military that can't contribute while they're in the military, ex-military, go to one person, Ron Paul.
Well, Judge, it has been a pleasure, sir, to have you on the show, and I really look forward to reading Nation of Sheep, and we look forward to talking with you again.
Anytime, my friends. Thanks so much.
All right, Judge. Thank you.
So there you have it, Judge Andrew Napolitano. I would say virtually endorsing Ron Paul for president. That was pretty darn close to an endorsement of Ron Paul for president. You don't speak about a candidate in those tones unless you're a supporter of that candidate. Judge Andrew Napolitano wants Ron Paul to be elected president of the United States. I loved what he had to say there. The means is fear. The goal is power. The victim is liberty. Now, that sounds to me something that Ron Paul could very well have said himself. He said the government is a necessary evil and needs to be as small as possible. Pretty Ron Paul to me. And he admits, or he states that Ron Paul's internet support, yes, can translate into votes, and that people, upon hearing his message, decide that they like it and become supporters. So, very impressive. I think that we are seeing the turning of the worm here. And we're going to see more statements from public figures like Judge Andrew Napolitano in the coming weeks and months as we come up on primary season. The dam has broken, as Dr. Paul said on Saturday, an explosion of the freedom movement is about to occur and is right now in the process of occurring. So all it needs is you. Once again, it comes back to you. It's great that you're listening to this broadcast. It's great that you read blogs about Ron Paul. It's great that you text comment in YouTube videos. It's great that you email people. It's great that you do all these kinds of activities. But we need you to get really seriously active in support of Dr. Ron Paul in reaching out to more people and raising more awareness and raising more money, in organizing for the vote, in canvassing door to door. You need to start finding activities that you can do on a regular, ongoing basis, not just once in a while, but as often as possible, because this is a one-time shot, as Kent Snyder said in his recent statement. One-time shot. We only have about 96 days to do it in. We got to get on the ball right now. So once again, our next big national event is the All-America Walk in support of the Ron Paul Freedom Message, October 13th, Saturday. If you are participating in your city, then get involved in making it the biggest and best walk that you can possibly have in your city. If it's not happening yet in your city, make it happen. Get in touch with me. I'll give you the information that you need to get started. You can go to my website, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, and on the upper right-hand corner, you'll see for the walk on October 13th. Click on it, learn more, email me, get on board. I need you. Every city and state involved in this walk on October 13th to show national support for Ron Paul and his freedom message. Please get on board that freedom train. We need you. We need you now. So, I think we're going to go ahead and leave it at that for today. Oh, well, one more thing that I did want to throw out there. I love doing the Freedom Message radio show, and it's really become a passion for me. I hope that the show is improving over time. I need you to be aware that I'm wearing all of the hats here. I'm doing all of the work to make this happen. And it could be a much better show, more effective in reaching many more people with better guests and overall just a better show if I had a little bit of help. And I've come to the conclusion that what I really need is a producer. I need somebody to produce the show. I need somebody who either has broadcast producing credits and experience or wants to develop them and is serious, I mean serious, about it. This show is at the forefront of the freedom movement. Okay, it's going to stay there. I am committed. We are going to develop this show into something that reaches tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people daily. But I need help. If I had a good producer or a team of producers on board to find and schedule guests, to do outreach to affiliates, other stations and places that we can rebroadcast our material, if I had a producer that could be doing outreach to other websites and means of getting the word out about the show, then we could be accomplishing so much more with this powerful means of communication that we have at our disposal. I've got the support of bbsradio.com. They're helping and bending over backwards to help make this as successful as possible because they want to see Ron Paul elected president. But if I had a producer or a team of producers, so much more could be accomplished. So if you'd like to apply for the job of producer, and by the way, that job doesn't pay you a damn cent, because I'm not getting paid a damn cent, and it's going to be out of the pure love of the freedom message that you would do this, you can please email me at freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. And also visit the website at www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. So there you have it. There's the Freedom Message news for today. I'll be back with more tomorrow. There's so much that I haven't even covered. So much happening, and so much will continue to happen on a daily basis. I'm committed to bringing you the latest news and information about the freedom movement and about the world in general. As events develop, I will bring our freedom message lens to every new development in the political arena and in society and in the world. So let's go ahead and we're going to go out with a song for you. I'm going to play something from Kim McDaniel and Larry Seeger, a song that they wrote for this show, The Freedom Message. Thank you, Kim and Larry. So everyone, you have a beautiful evening. Do what you can today and until I speak to you tomorrow in support of the Ron Paul Revolution. And have a beautiful evening.